Welcome back. Welcome, everybody, if you're just joining us. Happy Friday afternoon. We're almost there. 5 o'clock cometh, y'all. So happy to be here with each and every one of you. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Every Friday at 3, we've got this little ditty of a segment we like to call Ask Maggie, where you can basically ask me anything. Questions selected by my fabulous senior producer, Jamie Martinson. And I am placed on a timer to try to get me to stop talking, which is admittedly challenging. Welcome back, Jamie. Thanks so much for being here with me. Yeah.
Thank you. Always. You know what they say? It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? So if you're already celebrating on this gorgeous day, my goodness, keep celebrating because we all deserve that after the last few days. This week is one of those that feels like it's gone on forever. I don't know why.
My sense of time is blown post-COVID and now in the Trump 2.0 era. It's so very, very much all of the time. So now we actually mind the clock. Hypothetically, during the Ask Maggie segment.
We try. Well, sometimes we do okay. Most of the time, I have to say, though, you keep it right on time. So everybody can appreciate that. Because some of these are hard. Some of these questions really deserve a lot more time than we give them. And some of these questions really get us thinking about, you know, subjects we can dive further into on the show. So thank you, everybody. Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. By the way, if there's a question you want Maggie to answer. Now, we have a good mix. We have some really serious ones this week. And then we have a bunch of people who just want to have some fun. Obviously, they're already 5 o'clock somewhere in the country.
Good for you.
Right. So we're going to start out with this one. Cal, let's give her 30 seconds for this one. This comes to us from Tom in Appleton, and he sent a quick message saying that we've been talking a lot of NPR and PBS today.
Yes.
So, Maggie, he wants to know who your favorite Sesame Street character is. I know. It might take more than that. If somebody asked me this, I'd need like a whole 2 minutes because I could go on forever. But, Cal, 30 seconds for this one, and Maggie, go.
Oh, my gosh. This may be a little bit of a sleeper answer. I thought Beaker, I really liked Beaker because nobody could understand what he was saying. And he was this super nerd. I really liked Beaker. Of course, everybody loves Ernie, right? I mean, but I really, really liked Beaker. And maybe I'll throw in also because you couldn't understand him, the Swedish Chef. Those are, you know... The oddballs. I always like the oddballs.
I always like the ones that nobody counts on, right?
That's right.
I got to say, I was a huge fan of Oscar the Grouch. Now, not because he had the sunny disposition, but you always knew where you stood with Oscar. And I always appreciated that.
Do you remember like the handful of episodes where they would actually take you into Oscar the Grouch's garbage can?
Yes.
And it was this like cavernous... huge. Mm-hmm. That was so much fun. And it happened so very rarely that it was very exciting. I also have a PBS nerdy, I was born in the 70s question for you, Jamie.
Okay.
Do you remember 3-2-1 Contact?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
That was one of the best shows ever. I was a PBS kid.
My mom
stayed at home with me, and I was very fortunate to have my mom always around, and I was not a napper. So that was my quiet time. PBS went on at about, because my poor mama needed a break.
Yes.
So PBS went on at about 10 in the morning. It was always background noise where I was playing and doing all my crafts and my art. And then after lunch, then it was quiet time where I was supposed to be laying down, but it was PBS.
It was PBS.
There was dancing. And so that's what I was doing on the couch.
3-2-1 Contact. It's the answer. I mean, it was so good. Now, do you remember sometimes at the end of 3-2-1 Contact, they had these little episodes called the Bloodhound Gang?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yes,
my gosh.
I remember the Bloodhound Gang. Yes.
I wonder if we would be breaking any rules, Cal, if we ever found some Bloodhound Gang content, because I know there's a whole ream of listeners who would probably love that. They were so cool, So very cool.
They were as cool as LeVar Burton on Reading Rainbow. Let's be honest.
I won't break into song over that one to everyone's immeasurable Friday afternoon relief. But
I loved LeVar Burton too.
LeVar on the Reading Rainbow. So many good things on PBS back in the day.
Yes.
Well, we went down a little rabbit hole there, but that's part of what this is all for.
It's Sesame Street. If you don't go on down a rabbit hole talking about Sesame Street, or at least starting there, you obviously were not doing PBS right back in the day.
Well,
just saying.
And to bring PBS and NPR together, both under threat currently.
Yes.
NPR, I forget which show it is, but if you Googled this, you'd find it. I believe it's Throughline. I think it's Throughline. But they did an entire episode on the origins and the controversy that surrounded Sesame Street when it first came out.
Yes.
Like the child psychologists and educators that got together, and the fact that Sesame Street was banned in Mississippi, Alabama, a whole bunch of states. Why? Because it showed black and white kids hanging out together.
Really, though, when you look at where we're at, have we come? I mean, there are parts of this country and things that are happening right now where you have to say, is this maybe why there is such an assault on PBS and NPR right now? Once again, I mean, those are the things that where my mind goes. My kids were PBS kids, too. They loved Sesame Street. They grew up on Sesame Street as well. So it was just how it was in our house.
Cal, jumping in. Tell us what your favorite PBS shows were, Cal. I mean,
this conversation.
Yeah, we need a button that's silent. Cal speaks so he can shut us up and say what he wants to say.
Yeah, so I mean, I was a TV kid in general. I watched Nickelodeon, Disney, PBS, everything, but I always remembered Dragon Tales and Zaboomafoo were the big ones when I would get home from preschool and make sure I got on the TV.
Very nice. I think most people at some point in your young life consume some PBS. I mean, it was it's such a central part. Now, Nickelodeon didn't exist when I was growing up. So when I saw it as I was getting older and I was like, you mean you get to slime adults and make fun of them? I was very jealous that it wasn't available to me.
Pinwheel and Today's Special. If there's anybody out there who remembers Pinwheel and Today's Special, we'll have a conversation, because I'm not lying. There are days in this adult world when I will go to YouTube and I'll be like, you know what I need right now in my life? I need a little Jody, Jeff, and Muffy and Sam from Today's Special, and I will watch like a 20-minute episode, and then I can move on with my life. I know it sounds ridiculous.
Do you know what else I miss? We could probably do a whole show with like listener call-ins. We got Michael from the 608 saying like, yeah, heck yes. His daughter liked to watch Wildcraft. The other PBS show that like I was completely fascinated by as a young person, a little bit older than my Sesame Street days, was Nova. You want to know, like, are you a nerd? Did you watch Nova? Was it scheduled listening, watching? And it was before Neil deGrasse Tyson was some cool dude that had an X account, right? There was Nova.
Well, I have to say, my husband just left for the weekend. He's got some storm chasing to do, because besides doing the radio thing, he's also a storm chaser. So he's heading down south. Now I know how I'm going to keep myself occupied for the entire weekend. I'm just going to be on YouTube reminiscing with all of these old shows. That's how this weekend is going down. Just saying.
I love that. I'm definitely this weekend going to pull out some YouTube of the Bloodhound Gang. I loved the Bloodhound Gang. Cool. A little trip down memory lane there. Tom from New Berlin getting in on Wishbone. That was his favorite show back in the day. We got some folks on the Book of Faces chiming in. Remember, you can watch Jamie and I and, of course, Silent Cal on YouTube. That's Civic Media's YouTube channel. On Facebook, X, and Insta, at Maggie Dawn Show. But let's get back to these questions. We've gone down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, no. That's good. It was a fun rabbit hole. We need those distractions in life.
Yes, we do.
Because we're going to take a little bit more serious question now.
Okay, I'm putting my thinking cap on.
Yep, okay. So this comes to us from our email, askmaggie@civicmedia.us. And Donna wanted to know this. She says, I heard an economist say that it wasn't a good idea for Trump to start a war with Europe, and for many reasons. One of those reasons, this economist says, though, is that the world currency may no longer be tied to the dollar. Mm. She wants you to speculate on what that could mean for us, like with savings and the economy and anything else. So, Cal, we're going to give her 60 seconds on this one, because this is going to be a little bit more of a deep dive.
Can I ask a clarifying question before we start the timer? Did she mean a war, or did she mean a trade war with Europe? I'm assuming a trade war.
She just says war. So let's go with trade war this one. We'll leave that in your hands. But Cal, 60 seconds for this, for Maggie to answer what this means for all of us in the United States. So go ahead.
Okay. So what we've got going on is economic destabilization with the trade war, with these escalating tariffs. This is really bad for business. It's really bad for economic growth. It's really bad for wages. It's really bad for inflation. When you have the world's reserve currency, which is the U.S. dollar, enacting economic policies which encourage destabilization and are in fact destabilizing, that's not good. What we also have happening at the same time, and they're two separate but related phenomena, is that we have the debt ceiling debate coming up. Now, if we don't raise the debt ceiling, we default on our bonds that we've issued. This is U.S. Treasuries. And I'm going to take a little extra time, because this is beyond a 60-second. Yeah. When we have a debt ceiling, if we violate it, right, effectively, we've defaulted on our debt. And to date, that's never happened. But if you combine what I'm going to call really irresponsible, destabilizing economic policy in the form of a trade war, and you couple that with the potential, which seems to becoming more and more like it may happen sometime soon, and i.e. defaulting on our debt, the world will start to look for investors, including foreign governments who buy U.S. treasuries. The largest holder of U.S. treasuries is China. The world investors may start to look for a different reserve currency. And by a reserve currency, I mean the thing you buy that you know is safe no matter what happens. That has been, for the last 100 plus years, always a U.S. treasury bond. If that goes away, if U.S. treasuries and the U.S. dollar are no longer the reserve currency of the world, you're going to see accelerated destabilization, hyperinflation, and all.